that I want you to see in verses 1 through 6 is the purpose for submission. The purpose for the submission of the wife to the husband. And this is important. You know, I thought when I began looking at this, that, well, the purpose for submission is the wife, so the wife can be everything God wants her to be. And I came quickly to realize that the purpose for the submission of the wife is so that God's plan can be fulfilled in both their lives. This isn't just about what the husband does. It's not just about what the wife does. It's about what God wants to do in their lives. And that's a lot different. 1 Peter says that wives should be submissive to their husbands so that even if the husband is not a believer, he might become a believer by watching how his wife lives out her faith. Look at the end of verse 1. That even if some husbands do not obey the word of God, they without a word from their wife may be won to Christ by the conduct of their wives. That is God's plan for husbands, that they might become Christians, that they might be what God wants them to be. And the wife plays a gigantic role in that. And if that is true of unsaved husbands, it is also true of Christian husbands, because God has a plan for them. He wants them to become all He wants them to be, and the wife has a role to play in that. Excuse me. Wives, if you have an unbelieving husband, there is nothing that you can do for him that is more important than leading him to Jesus. And Christian wives, if you have a Christian husband, there is nothing more important that you can do in his life than helping him to become more like Jesus. So God wants you to live in a way that will light the path for your husband. Listen, let's just be honest. We all know men, don't we? Men know men, women know men, women know men better than men know men. Men are stubborn. Men are self-willed. They are hard-headed. They think they know everything. How many men ever look at the map before they leave on the trip? They only look at the map when they're lost and it's hopeless. And they need someone to light the way. That's where you come in, wives. You are the light. God has a plan for wives and a plan for husbands. I'm going to deal with the husbands in a moment. But before we move into verse 3 and following, let me just say something about verse 2. Verse 2 says that the husband can be won to Christ when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Does that mean you're supposed to fear your husband? Well, let me give you another translation. When they see your respectful, excuse me, and pure conduct. Peter's not talking about fearing your husband. Can I say this? No woman should live in fear in her home. In the context of verse 1, it's talking about the respect that you have for your husband and for the role that God has given him in the family. An unsaved husband can actually be won to Christ when he sees how much his wife respects him, even when he knows that she doesn't agree with him. The purpose for submission is so that both the husband and the wife can become all that God wants them to be. The third thing that I want you to see from verses 3 through 6 is the picture of submission. If I could summarize verses 3 and 4, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. If I could summarize those two verses, I would say it this way. It's okay to have good looks, but it's better to have a good heart. That's what Peter's saying. It's okay to have good looks, but it's better to have a good heart. Peter is not forbidding, ladies, for you to wear makeup. He is not forbidding you to get your hair done. He is not forbidding you to wear jewelry. He's not forbidding you to have nice clothes. What he is saying is that those things are not nearly as important as what's on the inside. What's on the inside is what's really valuable to God. And it should be what's really valuable to your husband. Now, Peter describes what's on the inside as a gentle and quiet spirit. Not every woman, let me rephrase that. Every woman falls on a scale somewhere, from a gentle and quiet spirit to not so gentle and quiet. Ladies, you just need to work on it. That's all I'm saying. God wants you to have a gentle and quiet spirit, a submissive spirit, a spirit that will be an example to your husband. And I will tell you right now, we are blessed in this church to have a large number of women who I believe, as I have watched your lives, have a gentle and quiet spirit. Thank you. You are a testimony to us. You are a light to us. Now, I don't want you to miss a little statement at the end of verse 4, because Peter says this, which is very precious in the sight of God. Ladies, you are not doing this just for your husband. You are not cultivating a gentle and quiet spirit just for your husband. You are not being submissive just for your husband. You are doing this for God. And in the sight of God, it is precious. That word precious means of surpassing value. You are valuable to God. You will always be valuable to God. But one thing that God values, ladies, is your heart. It's out of your heart that that gentle and quiet spirit comes. We live in a culture that says, ladies, you've got to stand up for yourself. Ladies, you've got to be heard. Ladies, you've got to make demands. The Bible doesn't say that. You need to show the world what a Christian woman is really like. And then Peter gives us this illustration of Sarah, who showed her submission to Abraham by calling him Lord. Now, I know what's going to happen in your homes today. You're going to go home and make jokes about this. Some husband's going to say, I need you to call me Lord. That's what Sarah did. Some wife is going to say, here is your tea, my Lord. And you're going to make jokes about it. And that's okay. Should a wife call her husband Lord? Let me give the short answer. No. Ladies, you don't have to do that. Can I tell you why? In that period of history, in that culture, that was appropriate. That was what was done. That is not what is done in our culture. It is not what is done at this time in history. She was showing Abraham the respect that we talked about back in verse 2. What God wants you to do is to show your husband respect. Because, not because he's a nice guy, not because he is the best-looking guy, not because he's rich, not because of any other, simply because of the place that God has placed him. And in different cultures and in different times in history, that is going to look different. The picture of submission is a woman who respects her husband the way Sarah respected Abraham. And that respect is not a grudging respect. It is a respect that flows out of the deepest place in her being. It flows out of her heart, and it is demonstrated by a gentle and quiet spirit. Now let's look at verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Words to husbands. In this area of living in the family, the men don't get off free. And although Peter does not spend as much time talking to husbands as he did to wives, what he does say to husbands is equally as important as what he said to wives. And so let me give you three things. We looked at three things about wives. Let's look at three things now about husbands. First of all, let's look at the word likewise. What does it mean? The word likewise refers us back to what Peter has already said about wives. And what he said about wives is they're to be submissive to their husbands. That is their duty before God. And just like wives have a duty before God, in the same way, that's what the word likewise means, in the same way, the husband has a duty to his wife before God. His duty is to live with her with understanding. That's the second thing. The idea of an understanding way. Husbands, in the same way, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Now, what does it mean to dwell with your wife with understanding? Does that mean that you know that she likes yellow roses instead of red roses? Does it mean that you know her favorite color, or that you know the color of her eyes, or that you know what she likes more than what she doesn't like? It can mean all those things, but there's something much more important here. There has been throughout church history many different understandings of what it means to dwell with your wife with understanding. Without going into all of the suggestions that have been made throughout church history, let me tell you what I believe it means. I believe that when God says through the Apostle Peter here that a husband is to live with his wife with understanding, it means that he is to live with her understanding what Peter just talked about, understanding the position that God has put the wife in. God has asked wives to be submissive to their husband. That goes against her natural inclination. It goes against many cultures and what cultures say. It might go against how she was raised or how she thinks. And the husband needs to understand the situation that the wife is in, that she, as a godly woman, has voluntarily put herself in because she wants to obey God. None of us like to submit to anyone else. We don't like the idea of being in submission, especially when we think we're smarter than the boss, especially when we think we're more capable than our supervisor, especially when we think we've got it all together and our husbands don't. What God has asked wives is to do exactly that. Put yourself into submission to someone who may not be as smart as you, to someone who may not be as capable as you, to someone who may not have all the answers you have. And husbands need to understand the wife's situation and not make it more difficult for the wife, but make it easier for the wife. And that goes along with the third thing that I want to share with you, the idea of a weaker vessel. What does it mean when it says he's to live with her with understanding, giving honor to her as to the weaker vessel? Does that mean that somehow she is weaker physically? Mary and I were watching a program last night on TV, and I happen to like all these British sitcoms. I don't know why. I just think the British are hilarious. I laugh at them even when they don't mean for us to laugh at them. They're just funny. And we're watching this British sitcom last night, and there happens to be this very feminine woman on it until some guy crosses her, and then she gives him a judo chop and throws him across the room. It does not mean that the wife is weaker physically. It does not mean that she is weaker emotionally. It does not mean that she is weaker intellectually. Let me tell you what I believe it means. And there's difference of opinion. I think this is consistent with the text and consistent with what I just said about understanding wives. What I believe it means is that by virtue of her position, being in subjection to her husband, she is in a weaker position. If the husband is inclined, he can take advantage of her. He can abuse her. He can make her life miserable. Peter says, live with her in an understanding way, giving honor to her as someone who has to live out her life in a weaker position. And then he adds two things. Because she also is an heir of the grace of life. That is, she is equal to the husband in the area where it counts the most, and that is in the sight of God. She is equal in the grace that God has given. In fact, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, speaking about now in the sight of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Husbands, you are to give honor to your wife because in God's eyes, you are both the same. Husbands are not here and wives here. Husbands are here and wives are here. The second thing that I want you to see is his statement at the end of verse 7, that your prayers may not be hindered. When a husband does not honor his wife, when he does not live with her in an understanding way and respect her, when he does not treat her as one of God's children, as a trophy of God's grace, in some way his prayers are going to be hindered. That's all he says. I don't know how. It's just they are. Can I tell you, living in the family is not easy if you haven't figured that out by now? Living in the family is not easy. And it becomes especially difficult when someone in the family or the family as a whole are facing the challenges of life. We become short with each other. We snip at each other. We argue with each other. And it often has nothing to do with the other person. It has to do with something totally outside. When you face a challenge, it is easy for a wife to usurp the role of the husband. When you face a challenge and she doesn't think you're doing a good job, she'll want to step in. When you face a challenge, it's easy for the husband to begin treating his wife in an ungodly way because he's irritated at somebody at work or because he doesn't think she's respecting him enough, he takes it out on the wife. You see, God has given each of us different roles in the family. Not necessarily better roles, not necessarily more important roles, just different roles. And the family functions best when each of us understand our role and we understand the role of the other people in the family and we live in the right way. You may not like the role that God has given you in the family. I'm sorry, take that up with God. God knows what He's doing. But bear in mind, you are not going to be judged for the role your husband has to play. You are not going to stand before God and give an account of the role your wife has to play. You are going to give an account of your role and how you did it in your family. I want to say, in all seriousness, ladies, you ought to thank God that you're not the head of the family. Because someday I've got to stand before God. And I have to tell you, that's a frightening thought to me. I'm frightened just to stand before God, an all holy and all righteous and all powerful and all knowing God. That scares me. But it scares me that I'm going to have to answer to Him and tell Him how I treated my wife and tell Him how I fulfilled the role as the head of the family. I tell my wife, I've said this to my wife, any day she wants to be the head of the family, I'll give it to her. She can stand before God. But it doesn't work that way. You don't get to abdicate your role. Ladies, all I want you to do is do your role in the family and help your poor, pathetic husband to do his role to the best of his ability. That's what God wants from each of us. To live in the way He designed us to live and to fulfill our role, listen, for His glory. Men, you're not doing it so that your wife will pat you on the back. You're doing it for Him. Ladies, you're not doing it so your husband will like you or love you more. You're doing it for Him. Let's do it for His glory, all right? Father, this is a hard teaching. It is a hard lesson for us in light of the culture in which we live. Help us, Father, to live in such a way that we fulfill our roles for the glory of our great God. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.